Well, that is a tough act to follow. I gotta admit. Give it a, yeah, man, that was amazing. I was exciting. I knew everything that was coming, and it was still funny. So that's really good. How do you feel about owing people things? Terrible. Good. Yeah. Not just money, though that's an obvious one. I don't like owing money to people, but you know those little everyday things too. How do you feel about that? You know that favor that you said you'd return? Or that phone call you promised to make 2 weeks ago, the promise to grab lunch sometime that you made last year. There's just something about owing anything to anyone that doesn't really sit all that well with us. It takes up space in the back of your mind. It can cause a lot of anxiety. Like, what? How am I going to do this? I just keep pushing it off. I just keep kicking the can down the road. It almost makes you feel like you're just constantly one step behind. I mean, that's probably why so many of us are drawn to the idea of being debt-free. We hear that a lot in our culture. We hear that phrase and we think, freedom, you know, clean slate, nothing hanging over me. Whether it's a financial advisor talking with you about your credit score or how much debt you have, or a friend reminding you that you still owe them that ride to the airport, right? Getting out of debt seems to be something worth chasing. And rightfully so. Financial peace, clear relationships. Oh, am I finished? Okay, I'm just gonna go. Damn. I don't know what happened there. Sorry, that's probably my fault, Tammy. It's probably my fault, yeah. Clear relationships, a conscience without guilt. These are all really good things, right? But what we're gonna find today is that there might be and there is a kind of debt that's not just a burden, but it's actually a privilege to have. It's one that isn't about falling short, but about staying engaged. And it's not something you're trying to eliminate in your life like all other debts, but something that you're actually piling up deliberately. Now, that idea might feel a little backward at first. You know, after all, we've been trained to finish things. We've been taught, you know, bring some closure to things, right? Wrap it up, check the box, move on, be done. But what if some things in life just aren't meant to be checked off and forgotten? What if there's a kind of responsibility that we never purposefully finish? Is it possible that there's one debt in life we should never pay off? Now, as we re-enter the book of Romans again today, we'll see the Apostle Paul make this shift from big picture topics, like we talked a lot about last week, about honoring others, especially those who are in authority above us, to topics that are a lot more close to home and personal. And as he makes this shift, he drops a surprising and really powerful statement to all of us this morning. It's one sentence that I believe reframes the way we think about how we live, how we engage with other people, how we interact with those in our lives. It's found in Romans chapter 13, and we're going to be beginning in verse 8. Now, you can download the YouVersion app. It's totally free. I saw this last week. 1 billion downloads YouVersion has. That's a B, billion downloads around the world. Amazing resource. The Bible is going out to places in the world that it's never been before at an alarming rate. And so you can download that. You go to events and more. You can follow along with everything I'm going to cover here. So now, leading up to our passage today, Paul has been describing what a gospel-shaped life looks like. In Romans chapter 12, he calls believers to live sacrificially. We talked about that a few weeks ago, about this idea that we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, to be this sort of person that lives with a humility to serve not just God, but the people around us. He calls us to love sincerely, to put love into action, to bring together these ingredients that DJ talked about a couple of weeks ago that allow us to live a loving lifestyle and to respond instead of evil, to evil with good. And then in the first part of Romans 13, he sort of shifts his focus to our role as citizens. He calls us to respect the authority figures in our lives, to be honoring to them, to be people who intentionally honor those around us. And then in verse 8, he pivots a little bit from this public responsibility that we have to a personal calling on our life. Verse 8, He says, owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. Paul starts by saying, owe nothing to anyone. Be debt-free, except for the obligation to love one another. Now, on the surface, it might sound like he's telling us never to borrow money. And while that maybe is definitely a sermon for another day, but as we noted, Paul's focus here is much deeper. It's on our continual debt of love to other people. And Paul deliberately, I believe, uses the word owe in this to connect the previous verses about paying our taxes out of obligation to this idea of owing people out of opportunity to love other people. It's as if Paul says, pay all of your obligations, but you'll never be done paying out love. Loving others will always be an outstanding debt on your account. It always should be an outstanding debt on your account. And Paul encourages us here to get comfortable with that. Not as a burden, but as an opportunity to love other people well. He even goes on to list some of the Ten Commandments. He says, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you must not steal, and you must not covet. These are four commandments in the Ten Commandments that are relationally based. Did you notice that? Don't commit murder. Don't steal. Don't covet. Don't commit adultery. They're relationally based. And he uses those as a springboard to then say, these and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. There's this incredible value that Paul is placing before us to say, listen, there is one obligation in your life. There is one debt in your life that you ought never to pay off, and that is the debt of loving other people. There is this opportunity that we have as followers of Jesus to love people well. In fact, it's so critical to our faith that it sums up the entirety of all of God's law. Love God and your neighbor. Love is the summary of all that God has said and instructed. I mean, think about it. If I truly love my neighbor, I won't steal from them, will I? Of course not. I won't lie to them, will I? No. I won't harm them, right? If I truly love my spouse, I won't commit adultery. Love does no wrong to others, Paul says. So love fulfills the requirements of God's law. Now, that all might sound a little familiar to you if you know your Bibles at all. And that's because in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus himself says almost the exact same thing. Paul is not coming up with a creative idea here. He's just simply quoting what Jesus has already said. Right? Jesus says all the law and the prophets hang on two commands. Love God and love your neighbor. The entire ethical requirement of Scripture is built on this sort of love in action, which is why Paul can say, owe nothing to anyone except your obligation to love them. He sort of reaffirms this in the book of Galatians. He says, for you've been called to live in freedom, to be debt-free, right? Your sin debt, and we'll get to that in a second, you've been debt-free from your sin to live freely, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Romans 13, Matthew 22, Galatians 5, they all drive home the same point. Love, as painted in the Scriptures and in the life of Jesus, is the fulfillment of everything that God has said, done, and instructed. And because of that, it is the one obligation we must always carry. We will never be debt-free in our love to other people. As followers of Jesus, we can never say, you know what? I've done it. I've loved enough. No more. I've filled my quota. Jesus said, love this much. I've accomplished that. Now I can just go about doing whatever I want. Right? There will always be more opportunity to love people. There will always be more ways to love people, more opportunities to love people. That will never end. And because of this, Paul wants to make abundantly clear to all of us, love is the one bill you never stop paying. It's the one bill you can never stop paying. This is a bit of a mind shift for some of us. It requires us to imagine seeing every interaction with another person as an opportunity to pay a little bit of that love debt. I mean, what if you saw every day as an opportunity to continue paying the debt of love to the people around you? What if that was your mindset going into your workplace? In what ways can I pay that debt of love to someone else in my workplace today? Or in your family? Or in your Thanksgiving dinner table? Some of you, it's a little like, wait, you went too far, Pastor. You went too far. Now I got to love the people at dinner table. Right? And here's why this is so important. This is a challenge to embrace this debt of love because it means every day I have purpose to reflect God's love in a tangible way. And the only debt worth having is debt of love because it's paid in kindness and mercy and service. And it's the only debt in the world that doesn't have a diminishing return. It's a debt that returns tenfold. You know, as Paul wraps up the last few verses of Romans 13, it's like he's wrapping up all that he's discussed in Romans chapter 12 and Romans chapter 13. And this idea of this debt of love, he moves into this urgent message now to us. He's like, listen, we have this incredible opportunity before us, called by Jesus Christ, to love the people around us in the sacrificial manner that he has loved us. And then he says in verse 11, follow with me, he says, this is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Your time is running out. It is limited. He says, wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living, because we belong to the day. We must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, don't let yourself think about the ways. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. It's funny, Paul paints this picture of someone dozing off or living in a groggy state. If someone's doing that next to you, just give them a little, you know, one of these. Let's just get, wake up! You know, like that's what Paul is saying here. He's asking us, look, there's a sense of there ought to be a sense of urgency with this love thing. This is not something that we put on the back burner and we delay. The idea is that we can't love others the way God calls us to if we're spiritually sleepwalking through life. Love isn't lazy or indifferent. Real love is alert and active and engaged. And why the urgency that Paul? Well, Paul says because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. And basically it's saying it's something that is often, it's not often front of mind for us, but every day brings us one day closer to the return of Christ. We don't know when that's going to be, but I know we're closer now than we were yesterday. And so because of that, there's an urgency built into the gospel message. People need to know the love of Christ. And the primary way that they will hear that is a community of people who are saying, I will never give up on my obligation to love other people. Amen. And I will go into the world and the workplace and my dining room tables, and I will seek ways to love people well. I will not fall asleep on my obligation to love. You know, each of us only has so many years on this earth to fulfill God's purpose. It leaves no time for apathy. A sleepy Christian who keeps hitting the snooze button on loving and serving others I'm just going to tell you, if you're in that camp, you're missing the point of this whole thing. You're missing out. Paul would say, wake up, you're running out of time to do what matters most. We're called to live in the light of Christ's coming, which means we're called to wake up, remove the dirty clothing of our sin, to put on the armor of right living, and to walk in the world with this forefront idea of loving other people. Yes. Because living a life of love and action isn't just about what we do, it's about who we are becoming. If our lives continue to be dominated by sin, or our effectiveness of loving others takes a major hit. So that's why Paul lists a few things. Just a few things. This is not an exhaustive list. And he says, listen, if these things are dominating your life right now, your ability to love people well, to fulfill this obligation of love to others, is severely diminished. And he's saying, look, if you're indulging in drunkenness and sexual immorality, you're focused on self-gratification, not the good of your neighbor. If you're stirring up quarreling and jealousy, it's almost impossible for you to love others as yourself. So Paul says, listen, just throw these clothes off, like dirty clothes that, you know, you no longer want or need. And instead he says, put on the shining armor of right living and clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, when's the last time you got on your knees and you prayed, God, clothe me with your presence today? Is that your prayer? Or is your prayer more along the lines of, God, would you do this for me? Would you do that for me? Would you do this for me? But no idea of like how clothing yourself in Christ actually lives you to start to pray, God, how can you enable me to do this for someone else today? How could I see people the way that you see people? How could I love the way that you have loved? I mean, think about what clothes do, right? I'm very glad all of you wore some today. That would be very awkward. Your clothes are one of the first things people see when they look at you. And we don't put a lot of status, at least not in our community, on clothing. But it does represent you in some way, right? Clothes express something about you. To clothe yourself with Christ then means that when people look at your life, they ought to see Jesus. They should see his love, his compassion, his holiness on display through you. It's living in such close relationship with Jesus and such obedience to him that it's as if you're wearing Jesus like a uniform held together by love.
Yeah, that's
good. So Paul says, put him on daily. You know, don't forget that it is him that you live for. Allow his presence to overwhelm you, to his spirit to continue to live out your debt of love to others. Paul says, let no debt remain outstanding except for the continuing debt to love one another. Be debt-free. It's a good motto to live by, except for when it comes to loving other people. And it's not a debt we carry because we're in trouble or we're trying to earn something. It's a debt that flows from something much deeper, a debt that's already been paid on our behalf. Because here's the truth. All of us in this room were once in debt, so much so that we could never repay it. The weight of our sin, the reality of our brokenness, the distance it created between us and a holy God, none of us could fix that on our own. But Jesus, out of love, paid that debt for us. At the cross, he absorbed the full cost of our debt of sin. He paid the price in full. As the hymn says, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. And through the canceling of our spiritual debt, he then gave us a new kind of life, one marked by grace and empowered by love. And because of that gift, we live not to earn, but to simply respond to his movement in our life. Not to settle the score with others, but to reflect the heart of the one who loved us first. That's why Paul calls love this continuing debt in our life. Because Jesus paid the debt we could never pay. We now have the opportunity to continuously pay the debt of love to other people around them, that they too might come to know who Jesus is. It's why he says, love is the $1 bill you'll never stop paying. It's as if Paul is saying, in light of what Christ has done for you, how could you not live a life of love? It's the only logical option. Not a love that's passive and polite, but a love that's active and urgent and visible. A love that wakes up in the morning and it shapes the way we move through our day. A love that doesn't wait for perfect conditions or perfect people. A love that gets involved, that forgives, that serves, that gives sacrificially. This is the only debt worth having, Paul says. And it's the one we carry, not with guilt, but with gratitude. It's a debt that doesn't drain us. It actually fuels us. It doesn't burden us. Contrary, it frees us. Every time we love other people well, we're not just doing good, we're actually bearing witness to the one who is clothing us right now. So today, as you go back into your home, this week as you go back to work, go into your neighborhood, get into your daily routines, I want to invite you to carry that debt with joy. As you invite or are invited into your family's living and dining rooms for Thanksgiving, I want you to remember these words of Paul this week. You know, before you step out of your car for Thanksgiving dinner, or before you open the door to your home, remind yourself, I still owe a debt of love to everyone I see today. To put on Christ and walk into your Thanksgiving with an urgency. Not to stand on the table and preach the gospel and pound your Bible. That's not what we're talking about. But an urgency to love the people in your life well. And I know Uncle Jim, he's tough, man. He's tough to love, right? Aunt Sue, man, she gets on my nerves. I get it. But there's an incredible opportunity for us as followers of Jesus just this week to walk to the Thanksgiving table, to walk into our workplace, and to be reminded, I have this incredible opportunity to pay a debt of love to the people in my life this week. Not because I have to, but because I get to. The world may not know all of your theology or understand all of your convictions, but they will recognize love. And when they do, they just might recognize Jesus too. So let's be people who are known for that, yes? People who are marked not by what we're against or what we hate, but who we are for and how we love. Let's live like people who owe everything to grace and who gladly pay the debt of love to other people. Let's pray. I just want to give you a minute this morning, if you will, to just close your eyes. And I just want you to reflect on everything you've heard. It's very likely that there was something that was said this morning that stood out to you, a word, a phrase. I just want you to reflect on that, focus on that for a minute. Listen to maybe what the Spirit has to say to you about that. Where is he nudging you? So just take a minute in the quietness of this room and listen. Listen for the voice of God. Father, I know that you are speaking to the hearts and minds of every individual in this room right now. You have brought something to them to encourage them, to challenge them, to convict them. I pray that you'd give us the courage and the urgency to respond to that this morning. That we wouldn't leave that here, but that we would take it with us. And when we go into our respective worlds, God, that we would follow through on whatever it is that you spoke to us this morning. This week, as we head towards Thanksgiving, I pray that we would take time to reflect on how incredibly gracious and kind you have been to us. That while we were still sinners, that while we were still lost, floundering through life, you came. You came for us, to die for us, to pay the debt we could never pay ourselves, to live a life to show us what love really looks like, that we might become new creations, people who place their faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, who become new creations to live a life of love every day, who never forget the obligation that we have, the opportunity that we have to pay a debt of love to every person we come into contact with. May we be people who won't be remembered for their theology or all of their really smart things that we said, but that the one thing that people will be reminded of with us is how we loved them. Lord, I thank you this Thanksgiving week for loving us so much that Jesus would come to die for us. Thank you that he paid it all, that we are free, that sin no longer has a rule or reign in our life. God, may we walk in that Thanksgiving this week. We love you, Jesus, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.